Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We are happy to be joined now by Chip Towers. Chip covers the dogs for DogNation.com, part of the AJC. Chip, thank you so much for joining us this morning. How's your Thursday going so far?
Happy to be here. Happy to be indoors and warm, thank you.
You got that right, no question about it. And I wanted to dive in here because this is obviously a topic that concerns Georgia fans. But the article yesterday from Nicole Auerbach in The Athletic, kind of similar to what we've seen some other people write, but I think this is the first one that actually quotes some of the power brokers in college football, Barry Alvarez being one of them, Gordon Gee, the president of West Virginia, being another, that are basically saying it's time to take a look at the college football playoff and maybe talk about expansion. I know Bob Bowlesby, the Big 12 commissioner, said that, you know, it's time to start thinking about an 18 playoff, and that's interesting coming from a commissioner who's had Oklahoma make it to the playoff the last 2 years, whereas you're not hearing necessarily a lot of chirping from the Big Ten and Jim Delaney, who's missed the playoff the last three seasons. You're not hearing it from the Pac-12, and they've missed out on the playoff a good bit as well. But it's something that a lot of people thought wasn't even going to be looked at before the end of the contract, but including, Dave, my co-host. But I just have always kind of thought that if you start to leave these Power 5 conferences out too much, then the talk's going to get louder and louder.
Yeah, you tick off enough people, almost anything can happen, right? And contracts are meant to be broken is what I've always said, but that's also what I've always heard is that because of the contract, nothing was going to happen on this anytime soon. So, I mean, personally, I find it very encouraging that this talk has reached I started to say a serious level, but I'm not sure that it qualifies as that just yet. But, because these are just guys sharing their opinions, they're not necessarily, enacting, policy or anything like that. So, but I mean, I think it's got to happen. I've always thought it was the case. I thought it should have been 8 from the start, just because of the 5 power conferences and then the 3 others. It's not a stretch to think that there may be more than one worthy team from a single conference in any particular year, Georgia being one of those this year. Alabama being one of those last year. And then, certainly there's going to be some years sooner or later where the Big Ten, Pac-12, Big 12, ACC, has a couple of worthy opponents. But, and then also, I think the UCF argument is going to continue to hang out there, and you're going to continue to have, these next tier schools, celebrate their faux championships until you can get them in a situation where they can compete for it. And, quite frankly, based on the college model, they should have that opportunity. I mean, if you look at the I don't know if you saw the Mike Leach press conference, I guess it was a week or so ago, where he just sat there and went all the way down through the, from the Little League tournament, going up through high school, going up through every level of college, whether it be Division III, Division II, FCS. That's how they all do it. You have conference champions, and then they all play off. It seems to work pretty good for the basketball tournament, and I think 8 is a very workable number. There's a formula there, as I understand it, where you won't have to add any games. I am a proponent of keeping the number of games down. I think college athletes generally play too many of them. And I would extend that to baseball and basketball as well. But not meaning to ramble, I think it's great news that it's being talked about. It'll be way more interesting to me when I find out you know, when there may be something serious done about it.
Chip, why do you think, though, that the conference title games are the ones that might come not come under fire, but are the ones that are being suggested you get rid of? I mean, you could still have those. Why wouldn't you just get rid of one of the games against one of the small kind of minnow, sisters of the poor, whatever you want to call them, schools on the schedule?
Yeah, well, I've always been the one that thought you need to eliminate a regular season game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think there's no better example than Georgia's schedule this year. I mean, you know, why in the world, you know, do you need to play, you know, all three, Austin Peay, Middle Tennessee State, UMass? I think we could all live without one more of those, couldn't we? And you know, so I think it's really simple. I do not think you need to take that. I think conference championships are great. I think anybody who's been to one of those, you know, certainly we're spoiled a little bit by the SEC. But, you know, I don't care if it's Georgia and Alabama or if it's, Auburn and Tennessee. I mean, those, you know, you're going to pack out the stadium and it's going to mean a lot. And let me tell you, now these conference championships, if it's to get into the, to get seeded into the national tournament, I think they'll even become more meaningful, in my opinion.
Chip, think for a second that Mark Emmert contacted you, Chip Towers, and said, you are the college football czar. You will design the playoff the way that Chip Towers wants to make it. You kind of hinted at what you would like a minute ago, but do you think that it should be conference champions and automatic bid, or would you make it more just the top eight teams as ranked at the end of that weekend?
Well, it'll be there's what I think, and then there's what it probably would be. You know, I think that the five power conference champions would get an automatic berth, right? I mean, it's just like you have in the basketball tournament right now. You know, the SEC champion gets an automatic berth into the NCAA tournament, and I think it should be the exact same way for the Power Five conferences. Now, not necessarily for the American Athletic Conference or whatever some of the other ones are, Conference USA. That's where it'd be at largest. So it would make sense to have five automatic stamps into the tournament and then three others. That way, you know, a lot of people say, well, that way you're going to end up with a three or four lost team. Well, yeah. I mean, you know, that's the point. You know, somebody should have a chance to play their way into it. Look at Bainbridge this year in the high school tournament, right? I mean, that what an incredible story that was. If I'm not mistaken, they were a 5-5 team, you know, that lost to Warner Robins, you know, 38-0 or something in the regular season, and they come back and win the whole thing. What's wrong with that? You know, a team gets hot at the end of the year. You think about Georgia's 2017, ended up with two losses, and they were bad losses, actually, if you look at it. But that was one of the hottest teams in America toward the end of the year. You could say that about this year's Georgia team to some extent as well. So I think it should be five conference champions and then three at-larges, and then your at-larges can be somebody who's undefeated like Central Florida, who I think would automatically be in, or certainly you could go by the rankings, which would probably take care of that as well.
Chip, wanted to switch the focus back to Georgia. Obviously, Mel Tucker is gone. He's a guy who was a huge part of Georgia's rebirth here under Kirby Smart. Any updates on a possible replacement, or is this just kind of all's quiet on the Western front over from the Butzmeyer building?
Well, there's a lot of names out there that I've, you know, that are being kicked around that I've heard have interest, or Georgia has interest in them. But, you know, here's the thing. This is not on the front burner for Georgia. The front burner for Georgia right now is recruiting. And as you guys know, I know you have enough recruiting experts on your show to know that Georgia is hot and heavy, still after some five stars out there. It's kind of incredible, you know, to see whether Georgia closes the deal on some of these guys. If they do, I'm telling you, man, the Georgia-Alabama competition, you know, extends beyond the field and into recruiting it to an incredible degree. But my point is, defensive coordinator is not foremost in their mind. If I understand correctly, I believe Bakari Rambo is on the road in Mel Tucker's place, the graduate assistant, former defensive back. And, you know, they'll get recruiting shored up first, and then I would imagine turn their attention to the defensive coordinator's position. I mean, sure, I know Kirby's got a strong idea. This was not a surprise, guys. You know that. We've heard this about Mel Tucker for a while. It's been my experience that head coaches and ADs in these types of situations, they have a working list that they're able to access pretty quickly and get a hold of those people. And but I would imagine it'll be, you know, maybe even after the bowl before they do something. Now, I'm not 100% on that, but I just don't think it's a rush right now. I think Georgia can get ready for the bowl game and do what they need to do in regards to recruiting without a full-time defensive coordinator. If you look at the history of that position and changes like this, it tends to be in the new year before you see a replacement.
Speaking of the team itself, Chip, we got the release yesterday that practice will begin. I think it's this Friday. No media availability, though. What are you expecting just this team to come out? How do they transition from that couple of weeks off, finals, final exams, graduation for some of these guys? Then you get right back to the football field later this week.
Yeah, you'll have a fairly good selection of players that graduate fall semester, I believe. You know, it'll be shake off the rust time. It's always interesting this time of year. Usually when you come back, these first couple of days, I imagine a lot of attention will be given to backup players and guys who ended up redshirting this year. They like to get them out there and run them around and kind of find out what they have for the future. And then they'll concentrate on the plan. It's going to be, you know, the dynamic for this game is going to be really interesting. You know, a lot of people have weighed in on it already. Is where is Georgia going to be psychologically at a team? But I buy what Kirby's selling on this. Is, you know, kids are, I say kids, you know, college students tend to be a little bit more resilient than the rest of us. You know, I think they'll be eager to get back on the field. I talked to enough players after the SEC championship game, if you want to stand up there and beat your chest to say that you should have been included in the college football championship, then you certainly, you know, can't go out and lay an egg against a 9-4 Texas team. So I imagine, you know, once they turn the video on of Texas and see their quarterback in action and those receivers and running backs, they'll start getting focused on what they need to do to stop those guys. Because there's still some high water marks that Georgia can establish here. You know, certainly winning 12 games again would be a big deal. And they have a lot to play for. The Sugar Bowl is a pretty doggone good consolation prize. So they still have a lot to play for.
Chip, I wanted to ask you about Sam Pittman and just the hauls that guy's bringing in. Obviously, going into Alabama and getting a five-star there is something that you don't do very often, and you started to see some Alabama fans start to qualify it with, well, he was going to go to Georgia anyways, mom's from Atlanta, blah, blah, blah. But still, I mean, if you can go into that state and bring in one of the better players, that is a remarkable accomplishment, particularly with what the Crimson Tide have done. Sam Pittman is a guy who, you know, in this process, you know, you're not hearing him linked with, you know, offensive coordinator jobs or head coaching jobs or anything like that. Is that something with the level of recruiting that he's doing that it could be only a matter of time as well?
You know, that's a really interesting point, Sam. And, you know, I don't know other than I know Sam the man, and he's just there's a reason that all these offensive linemen like him so much. I mean, he is just one of the most laid back, fun loving, you know, tough but fun kind of guys, and these guys just love to play for him. Now, I just don't think he's that ambitious. I mean, ambitious is the wrong way to put it, but I don't think he's interested in calling an offense. I think this is a man who very much is comfortable in his own skin, who knows who he is. He's an offensive line coach, and listen, you know, Georgia, I'm sure, can give him all kinds of titles. You see him all the time, you know, running game coordinator, pass protection coordinator, you know, but with Sam, I don't even think he needs that. You know, I mean, he's probably, I'll need to quantify this next day. I mean, he's probably one of the highest paid, you know, non-coordinator assistant coaches in America. I would think that's pretty easy to say. And, man, he does a bang-up job for Georgia. There's no question about it. You know, that's rare air to go. It's not, you know, Georgia signed players from Alabama before, but it's very rare that you sign a five-star player like this that, you know, Alabama and Auburn are both hot after and everybody else in the SEC. So that's quite an accomplishment. It's along the lines of that John Emery kid out of Louisiana, which, you know, I understand that duck has flown, but, you know, when Georgia was in there and had him committed, that's very, very unusual, a player that LSU, you know, was hotly after that you're able to come in there and get. So, yeah, Sam's a great asset to the University of Georgia and for Kirby Smart, and I imagine if he wants the title of offensive coordinator, they'll probably give him one. You know, they'll have to try coordinators if they need to. They'll do whatever it takes to keep Sam Pittman on staff.
Chip, the announcement came out yesterday, the Sugar Bowl inducting new members into its Hall of Fame. Vince Dooley, Scott Warner among the recipients this year. Why did it take almost 40 years to get these guys into this Hall of Fame? And Georgia's been back to the Sugar Bowl a couple times, but what is the logic behind waiting almost four decades to put these legends into the Hall of Fame?
Well, you know, those bowls Hall of Fames are a little bit different. You know, it's not, you know, it was both Scott Warner and Vince Dooley of Scott Warner, not long, but, you know, it's been a couple of years since he's been in the College Football Hall of Fame. So if you can qualify for the College Football Hall of Fame, I would imagine that's connected to just Georgia being the bowl. You know, I mean, they're not going to induct somebody unless you're there. And Georgia's been there, you know, recently, sure. But I imagine it's just a way to be able to honor them while you're going to have a Superdome full of Georgia fans there. It's great. It's a great honor, and both those guys certainly deserve it. They did some good work in the Sugar Bowl, didn't they?
Yeah, it's a fantastic memories there. But also, another thing about this year's bowl season, this is the first year that we've had this new red shirt rule where players can play in four games. Unless I'm forgetting something or overlooking something, Kirby seemed to use the guys early in the season that he may decide to red shirt and then just didn't play him further after that. Are there any players that stand out to you that might get a snap or two this game without burning a red shirt, or is that a non-factor for Georgia this year?
Oh, I think it's a non-factor at this point. You know, Georgia's rotation is pretty well established, and I wouldn't see Georgia changing a whole lot for this game. Now, there are some young guys that you're going to get out there and work during bowl practice with an eye on the future. But if you look at those, I can't even name, you know, who some of those players are that were shut down after the fourth game. I couldn't tell you, but I'm sitting here trying to look through the starting Georgia's participation stats and see if there's anybody that sticks out to me. But there's not. There's a lot of those defensive back types that Georgia was getting to look at early in the season, and they sort of shut them down. I wouldn't imagine they would burn anything at this point. Georgia's defensive backfield ended up playing pretty good. So, I would imagine that, you know, you're going to see the same 22 to 44 players that you saw in the SEC championship game. And fortunately for Georgia, they don't have anybody, DeAndre Baker, anybody shutting down to get ready for the NFL draft. They're going to have their full representation. Now, you know, the one area you don't know this time of year, the end of fall semester, there are some of those players that are probably unhappy with playing time. There's generally a little bit of attrition toward this time of year, and I would imagine you're going to see that between now and the bowl game.
Speaking of the attrition that you just said, I mean, even after the bowl game, there's a couple of guys on Georgia's roster that are going to be questioning or deciding, are they going to go NFL? Are they going to come back for their senior season? Elijah Holyfield, Isaac Nauta stand out to me. What are your predictions for some of those top guys? Or what are your gut feeling on whether they'll either leave or come back for their senior season?
Well, you never know. I mean, Georgia has, it's not as many as usual, but a handful of players that are probably going to ask for NFL assessments. Elijah Holyfield's definitely one of them. And, you know, I've long gotten past that where I'm surprised by anybody who decides to turn pro because it's such a it's such a limited window that football players have. And, you know, if you look at somebody like Elijah Holyfield, you know, between his parents, between, you know, the way he was raised and all that kind of stuff, that he could you could certainly see him justifying getting a look at the professional game now. he's certainly physically ready to make that leap. And then you also have a situation, depending on how recruiting shakes out, whether or not Georgia signs Trey Sanders, certainly have DeAndre Swift coming back. Zamir White's going to be playing next year. James Cook, you're going to want to see more of. So, you know, it figures that, you know, he may get his opportunities get decreased a little bit. And with that in mind, you know, he may want to give it a shot. But McCole Hardman, J.R. Reed, Isaac Nauta, Tyler Clark, Riley Reed, you know, these are all juniors that I'm sure are going to get the NFL assessment. Now, you know, those aren't what, you know, people think those are really detailed reports that come back and tell you, well, you know, based on the NFL executives we talked to, you could be anywhere from third round to sixth round. It's not really, all they find out is you're a first round pick or you're not, according to, you know, their board or whoever does all that. So they don't get a ton of information like that. Now, the coach, people like Kirby, will talk to people that they know in the business and get you a little bit more information if you're looking for that. But I would be shocked if it's not somebody, you know, right? There's usually somebody who makes that leap. And I think, you know, I would be shocked if Elijah Holyfield did that just because of the limited shelf life of running backs. He may want to give it a shot. And it's not always about the draft either. You know, sometimes it's about the draft. Sometimes it's just about opportunity and being ready for that opportunity, and academically as well as physically.
Chip Towers, AJC's DogNation.com. Chip, thank you so much. We'll look forward to talking to you again next week.
Enjoy the hangout, fellas.
See you, Chip.
All right, indeed. Chip Towers from DogNation.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.